I'm Joe Kramer, composer of Mission Impossible Rogue Nation. Your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to listen to this podcast from the Geekcast Radio Network.
There's roughly 14 days of winter vacation that fall between Christmas and New Year's. So the wintertime problem for our generation is cramming butt in before the dust clears. Building an igloo that looks like a palace or scale a drift that's 80 feet high. Constructing huge snow cones that reach to the moon or making snow angels that fly. Creating northern lights, snowboarding upside down or slaloming on your ear ends.
That is fun!
Cool winter carnivals, good old snowball fights, and ice dancing with your best friend.
Ice dancing.
As you can see, there's a whole lot of stuff to do, and we're not gonna stall.
Come on, Perry.
So stick with us, cause Phineas and Ferb are gonna do it all. So stick with us, cause Phineas and Ferb are gonna do it all.
Mom! Phineas and Ferb are making another winter-themed title sequence!
Hello and welcome to episode 85 of Palka, brought to you by the Geekcast Radio Network. I am one of your hosts, TFG1 Mike. Joining me, as always, is Pecan Core Michael. Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going. Sometimes I wish it would stop. Today is the 85th day of summer, and this means it is the day that the GCRN finally gets back to our cartoon review podcast for 2021. Are you ready to jump back on the roller coaster of a ride that is the podcast organization without a cool acronym for Phineas and Ferb?
Yes.
As of this recording, we have 19 days left of the podcast. And, ladies and gentlemen, we have a new theme song, because in one of the episodes today, they did another winter theme song. So that will be the intro for this episode of the podcast. Very, very cool.
I think I like this one better than the other winter theme song.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Very cool. Very cool.
You'll never guess what I'm doing tonight.
Well, you might be
going on a big date. But guess with who?
Obviously.
It's Jeremy. But you'll never guess where.
I have no idea.
Neither do I. He says it's a surprise.
Ooh, lucky you.
The problem is if I don't know where we're going, I don't know what to wear.
Oh, I know. Hair bows. They're all the rage these days. Just don't wear any feather earrings. They're so last Tuesday.
So last Tuesday. I would never wear something so Tuesday-ish of last.
Well, since the parts didn't arrive for our zombie robot pool table, anybody have any other suggestions?
Hey, remember how we did that super roller coaster? How about a super-duper roller coaster?
All right, first up, we are a fly on the wall. Well, at least Candace is anyway. Because Buford removes a part from the tire swing the boys are building, and it accidentally shoots a ray that turns Candace into a fly. Meanwhile, Doofenshmirtz is suffering from evil scientist block. Oh, Lord.
That's a real thing. I had that once.
Mm-hmm. A block or evil scientist block?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I mean, I guess every Transformers generation needs their own Dr. Archiville. I don't know.
I don't have the Kano faceplate. You know.
That can be arranged. All right, fly on the wall.
Yes.
I like the tire swing idea. I hate the fact that Candace got turned into a fly because she became even more annoying than she already was.
Okay.
Go away, fly. Go away, fly. Buzz, buzz, buzz. Go away, fly. Like,
Shoo, fly, you bother me.
Yes.
There's a whole song about it.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going to sing it, but
no.
There's a song about it.
Mm-hmm. And because, I don't know necessarily because this is the beginning of season four, but they reference Second Dimension because Summer, Where Do We Begin?
That is the best.
We all know the song. I don't know how we know it, but we all know it.
Don't know. I'm not sure how we know it.
Yeah.
We all know the summer song, but we're not sure how. I actually, when they started the summer song, I was like, wait a minute, they shouldn't know this.
Uh-huh.
But it was funny. It might have been the best line of the whole episode, to be honest.
There is no whatcha doing.
Oh. And that is why that was the best line in the whole episode, because there's no what you're doing.
Uh-huh. And there was also no, oh, there you are, Perry.
Wow. There's just first episode of the season, they're just missing every beat.
Yep. Pretty much. What did you think of this one?
I liked it, question mark. You know, I like the, how should I put it? Old horror movies, right? So yeah, mm-hmm. Vincent Price in The Fly, not the Jeff Goldblum Fly, but the Vincent Price Fly.
Right.
And yeah, and they referenced that and it made me giggle. And for that, I gave it a 3. Getting ahead of myself. First of all,
right.
Tire swings. Yo, dog, we heard you like tire swings. So we put a tire swing on your tire swing so you can tire swing while you tire swing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was it. That was basically it. The shark typo. How do you get shark from park?
You take away the P and you add a sh.
I got a whole bag of sh with your name on it.
That's right.
I said you get park. I don't understand it. I'll see how they got that. But yeah, Candace is a fly. You have a bad idea, Inator. The other best line ever. The summer just keeps going on and on and on, and it feels like it's been going on for 4 years.
For 4 years, that's right. Yeah.
I laughed so hard. I had to pause it. I laughed so hard. It's funny that they're 4 years in now, and they start the season with a line like that that says, "Yes, we know we're 4 years in." Ha. But
and it's so funny because having that, it's like, oh, I can now switch out my intros now, because for the rest of season 4, I can still use, yes, Ferb, this summer does feel longer than it actually has been. There's a line that Phineas says in another episode from season 3 where, yeah, you're right, Ferb, it sure does feel more than 104 days. I have that usually start the podcast episodes, and now that they have this reference of it does feel like a lot longer than 4 years, I can use that too.
Nice.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, I'm dry, Perry the Platypus, dry, and the summer just keeps going on and on. It feels like it's been going on for like 4 years. I'm asking you, man to monotreme, can you help me?
The Fly on the Wall song, not my favorite song, but my favorite line is the menu. The menu's always number 2. I thought that was funny. Not like going on 4 years funny, but I thought it made me giggle.
Yeah.
And then Candace runs into another dude whose head is also on a fly. Mm-hmm. And the fly head dude was voiced by Martin Olsen, who's the head writer for the show.
And Olivia Olsen's father, I believe.
Exactly. Real life father of Olivia Olsen, who plays Vanessa.
Vanessa, that's right.
That's right. Ah, yeah. So she was not in this, but it was just funny that he was there. And I'm like, this guy is a very particular looking guy. Like they meant to copy somebody's face here. It's like, who is this guy? And I had to look at the wiki for it, but
yeah. Looks just like him.
Looks just like it did. Yeah, I was really I was impressed. So, yeah.
Yep.
And you know, when life's going well, a giant tire comes along and smashes your innator.
That's right.
That's right.
Not that the innator was doing anything anyway, but still.
It was ready to be doing something. It was all set to do something.
I guess.
Yes. Well, you know, if your doohickey thing came out of your thingamawetsits, then it would do something different.
Yeah, it would be a sorbet machine.
I guess so.
So yeah. What are you rating this one?
3 out of 5 for Vincent Price references. And at the end they go, help me!
Yeah, 2.5.
Fair. It's a fair.
I'm like, ooh, fly on the wall. That means they're going to do some sort of spy thing. And then I'm like, oh, wait, no, they're doing this thing literally because can't. Oh,
she's a fly. Yeah. Well, they just start the season off with just such a wacky premise. But then, it's wacky. It's funny. But at the same time, they're missing their regular story beats that they should have reinforced right off the bat in season 4.
And for the record, this is based on the Disney Plus airing of these episodes, folks. The actual season starts, according to the lovely people at the wiki. Fly on the Wall is 401A. But the way that they listed on the wiki is that it, in air date order, you actually saw For Your Eyes Only and Happy New Year first before Fly on the Wall. So, I still don't. It just doesn't. Whatever. All right, we are going to take a quick break. You're going to hear some audio. We're going to get to My Sweet Ride after this.
Do you like retro cartoons? Then Saturday Morning Rewind is the podcast for you. Join them each month as they talk about classic cartoons and interview legendary voice actors like Jim Cummings.
I am the terror that flaps in the night.
Corey Burton.
Sometimes toys can be so funny.
Rob Paulsen.
Sure, Vane, but how are we going to find chaps our size?
Nancy Cartwright and many more.
Eat my shorts.
So grab a bowl of Lucky Charms.
They're magically delicious.
Put on your hammer pants. Go to SaturdayMorningRewind.com. And be prepared to feel like a kid again. Once again, that's SaturdayMorningRewind.com. Saturday Morning Rewind was voted best podcast ever by its host, Tim Nidell. So it's gotta be good.
Hey, Mom.
Hey, Mrs. Flynn.
Mom, when can I get a car?
Candace, you only have your learner's permit.
Yeah, but eventually I'm gonna have my license. I think we should be ready.
Right. In the meantime, have a cookie.
That's hardly the same thing. Why are you dressed like that?
Don't you remember? The Duwall Pomp is tonight. All the neighborhood moms have volunteered to be car hops.
Wow, Mrs. Flynn. I really like the wig helmet.
Why, thank you, Jeremy. Safety first, you know.
I don't know about you, but I'm going to have another cookie.
Aloha, cats.
Oh, hey, guys. How you doing?
Mellow like a cello and solid to boot, Daddy-O. We're going to the doo-wop hop tonight, so we're dressed like they did in the 50s. You know, when everyone dressed like a sitcom from the 70s.
All right, we are back, and we're going to be talking about My Sweet Ride. And, I mean, it's not Kit, but I guess the Nedlington Nymph is okay. At least it's not a Boom Shakalaka 320i with a self-destruct button on the gas tank.
Well, who doesn't want a giant tank, you know? Schwarzenegger has a tank. I'm kind of jealous.
I'd rather have the Knight Industries 2000, thank you very much.
So I've never heard of a Nedlington Nymph, and I tried to Google it, and... the third option here is what's a nymphomaniac, so I wouldn't recommend Googling it.
No.
I just thought maybe it was a real car.
Yeah, it's something they probably made up, most likely. It's time for Danville's Doo-Op Hop and Car Show, with the whole town is getting prepped for it. Doofenshmirtz is set on winning the show, even if it means using his Rustinator to turn all the other cars into red dust or rust, because apparently that's what he thinks that means. Meanwhile, sadly, there's no Cosmic in this.
I didn't want to go that way.
Well, you know, you never know what's going to happen with us here at the podcast organization without a cool acronym. We could devolve into a whole Transformers episode next week when we talk.
Allowed one collection, so of course that's where my brain's going to go.
Well, of course. I mean, Rust, Cosmic, Rust, Red Dust. Yeah, it's all, you know, it's all going to destroy Megatron's plans. Candace's hope for a car of her own has come true, but it's not quite all she imagined.
Is it a
with Phineas and Ferb involved, it could have been.
Would have been, yeah. It does have a trophy rack.
Yeah, it does have a fairly big trophy shelf, yes.
Trophy shelf, that's right. Oh. I got rack on the brain, sorry.
You know, kids, you really need to stay away from my rack.
It's the iRack. It's the new household organization tool by Apple. It's called the iRack.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, look out, the iRack isn't stable.
Dad, what's an iRack? Oh, you don't want to know that, son. You'll find out about that way later.
Find out about that later. All right. That was a dark rabbit hole. Okay. What are we talking about here?
I mean, it was Shades of the Beast Unleashed over here.
Yeah, just going stream of consciousness. Sorry.
So, My Sweet Ride, the 50s doo-wop stylized as a 70s TV show. I thought that was hilarious that Phineas is, that they're like, we're going to dress like a 50s '50s time done on a 70s TV show. I'm like, oh, great. Uh-huh.
Happy Days.
Well, of course. I mean, yeah. You know, it's the Fonz.
Referencing Happy Days. Uh-huh. See, now, I got it.
I got it, too. Yeah,
I mean, got it. Because he's like 90 now. I don't know if your average, you know, little kid who's watching Phineas and Ferb is going to get it.
I mean, I think if your average little kid nowadays, if that child's parents is parents, so, you know, if their grandparents taught their parents the right way, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. You know, our parents taught us about, you know, car hops and sock hops and all these other doo-wop things. So we know about them. So we would recognize the reference, but I'm not sure if today's children having children will teach their children about things right. That are over 40, 50, 60 years ago.
Yeah.
Sadly.
I mean, the 40s are the same distance from the 80s as the 80s are from today.
Yep.
So it's like, you know, the oldies now are songs that I listened to in high school.
Yeah.
I'm old.
Me too, you know. You're not the only. You might be older, but you're not the only old person here.
The only old guy around here.
Yeah, it's like...
like dueling canes or fighting. Hey, stay off my lawn!
Hey, you know what? I know a lot of people are tired of that phrase. Get off my lawn! You know, but hey...
That's very important to me. It's all I have.
That's right. But if Batman can say it in a comic and get away with it, I'm like, Batman said it, everybody can say it.
Everybody can. It's fair game.
I forget which comic that was. It was one of the I think it was DCU versus MOTU or something. It was one of the crossovers. I have the panel on my Facebook somewhere where it's like, Batman's like, get off my lawn.
See, I hear it in my head like Kevin Conroy.
Well, of course.
Get off my lawn. You know. Just hear it that way.
Absolutely. Yeah, My Sweet Ride, I dug it. I thought it was fun. I thought it was interesting. I thought, you know, you had a little bit of more character progression with Candace about how she has her permit and that she's eventually going to get her license. So I like that. The fact that Jeremy already has his license and he can drive them around and all of that. I thought that was cool.
Yeah. So we're looking like 15, 16, somewhere in there.
Yeah, somewhere in there.
We're gonna guess that.
Mm-hmm.
Vanessa has a new costume.
Yes, she does.
She does. Didn't like it. Not a fan.
But that's not her everyday costume. That's the car hop costume.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, she had to dress up for her, you know, boyfriend that she doesn't want her dad to find. That's the other thing. Both Monogram and Doof are like, well, who are you going to go to the car op with? And blah, 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 blah. And, oh, Vanessa, why are the curves of your mouth turned up? Is there something wrong? Like, he expects her to be a depressed teenager the rest of her adult life or something. Well,
Vanessa has resting bitch face. So she's going to look unhappy. Even just sitting around watching TV, she's going to look unhappy. But when she smiles, it's like, wait a minute. You don't have resting happy person face.
Something is afoot here. And did you notice, even though, and you cannot say a damn thing about Monty in this episode because he doesn't actually speak. So you can't say shit negative about Monty and who his voice actually is.
Seth Green took the week off.
Shut up.
Yeah, no speaking lines.
But Monty's... even though it was more of a jacket, the way he pulls up his costume, I'm like, ooh, that's the Scarlet Pumpernel, because that's still coming up. Okay. It's later in season 4 when they do the Halloween episode for Drusel Steenoween.
Okay.
It's what I've been mentioning to you for the past month and a half now that we've been doing these recordings.
Yeah.
So Doof has some Halloween plot that we'll get to.
I don't really know what the Scarlet Pimpernel is. I only have so many references to it.
Seriously? Really?
Yeah, I never read that book.
You know, okay, I'm sure people are going to call sacrilege when I say this. You don't really need to read the book. All you really need to do is look up Looney Tunes, Daffy Duck, Scarlet Pumpernickel, and you'll get it.
Okay, so basically, I need to know a 1940s cartoon reference from a early 1900s book.
There you go.
So once again, the 1900s are as far away from the 1940s as the 1940s are from the 1980s are from us.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to be really damn old to get that reference.
Well, I mean, a lot of people, you know, watch Looney Tunes. So, I mean, you know.
Yeah, when I was little.
Oh, please.
I thought the 1940s cartoons were hilarious when I was, you know, 5.
I still think they are hilarious. Anyone that says Duck Amuck is not hilarious today is fucking loony.
Speaking of Ducky Momo.
No, not Ducky Momo.
There was a Ducky Momo reference in this episode.
Uh-huh.
He was on a keychain. He's sending me a link. All right, that's right. I get it. That's fine.
Uh-huh. That's fine. I'll give you that's fine. Anyway, Ducky Momo, keychain, Ducky Momo. Got it. Yes, got it. Don't watch it now.
I'm not. I'm just looking at it. I'm like, what is he dressed as? What is that?
It's Scarlet Pumpernickel.
That is awful. It looks just very French.
It is very French.
Scarlet Pimpernel. All
right. That's right.
Okay. My Sweet Ride song? Reminiscent of Sha Na Na.
Of course it is.
I'd have to go back and Google Sha Na Na now.
No.
No? You know what that is? All right.
Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah, we're old. Anybody old. Under the age of like 45, go back and Google that.
Kids today, if you want to learn something, Google. You know, Google is your friend.
It was actually a TV show where it was like about a band. And they sang doo-wop songs, and they had a guy named Bowser with a really deep voice. And he was like the bass of the band, where he was like...
Really?
Yeah. You said you remembered it.
Yeah, I remember the song. I don't remember the damn TV series.
There's a TV show called Sha Na Na, and it was about a band named Sha Na Na, and they sang. And I don't remember if it was like... the monkeys, where they had stories, or if it was just them singing. I remember them.
So would you and the rest of the audience like me to read to you from Wikipedia what Sha Na Na, the TV series, is?
No.
It is a syndicated television variety series that ran from 1977 to 1981 for a total of 97 episodes, hosted by the popular rock and roll comedy group of the same name. The show was produced by Pierre Cossette, people I can't pronounce the voices, you know, names of and stuff like that. Yeah. Cast members of Sha Na Na during the TV series were John Bowser Bauman.
Bowser?
And, yeah, Bowser. B-O-W.
Deep voice. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. Okay, then. Yeah, I only know the actual band and the fact that Bruce Springsteen used Sha Na Na or Sha La La or something in the middle of one of his hit songs.
Wow, I just learned something new. In 1969, they appeared just before Jimi Hendrix at Woodstock.
Sweet.
In their 8th professional show. Wow, that's something I did not know about Sha Na Na. All right, well, one more rabbit hole checked off my list.
There you go.
So what did you think of this one?
My Sweet Ride, I loved it. I thought it was great.
Yeah, all right. I like the song. I like the song.
I like the song.
I give it a 3.
Okay.
For introducing children to outdated 50s culture, like Sha Na Na. 50s culture as envisioned by 70s sitcoms.
That's right.
Like Sha Na Na.
Right. I'm giving it a 5 because it is a hell of a lot better than The Fly on the Wall. It is an episode.
5?
Yes, a 5.
Wow, your opinion is wrong.
Well, you know what?
You're entitled to it, I guess. I don't know.
But no, but okay. For
I've seen fives. Okay, this is not a 5.
You who oogle over Vanessa, her voice and her character and everything else. I can't believe you didn't find that outfit attractive. Also, the fact that this is an actual episode that actually has a plot. The last Doofenshmirtz was like, I need to do a forget about it inator or something, like, because he couldn't remember what the hell he was trying to do or what. No. My Sweet Ride is definitely 5 worthy.
All right, hold on. I need to check one thing, too. Checking the wiki. We do have a Too Young line. We do have a Ferb line. There's no What You Doing. There is a Where's Perry. And there's a Oh, There You Are, Perry. So already hitting on almost all cylinders.
Which
this arguably should have been the first episode of the season.
Yeah, it should have been.
It would have been a nicer start than the last episode.
Absolutely. All right, we are going to take a quick break and come back with Luke Robitaille and Hockey Z9.
Hello, geeks and geekettes. Looking for a podcast that covers a vast array of topics? Then check out Altered Geek Unleashed, where we discuss our thoughts on this week's geeky news, tech, gaming, television shows, movies, cartoons, comics, and more. So, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks. Every Friday on the Geekcast Radio Network.
Boys, I've got some good news for you. I've arranged for you to play a little exhibition match between periods at the Danville Ice Race game.
Oh, you mean like at halftime?
Well, it's 3 periods, so it's really 2/3 time.
Bland sports terms. That's what's keeping the Canadians down.
If we're going to be the entertainment, then we'd better kick it up a notch. Hockey Z9?
Hockey Z9.
Oh, like football X7.
What happened to Y8?
Oh, we're saving that for croquet.
All right, we are back, and it is time for Your Ice Only. That's right, we are talking about the classic James Bond film. Oh, wait, wrong podcast. Good thing we're not on Her Majesty's Secret Service, huh? All right, we are here to talk about For Your Ice Only. Next up, National Hockey League star Luke Robitaille offers his assistance when Phineas and Ferb take an ice hockey game to the extreme. Meanwhile, Doofenshmirtz builds an abominable innator. An abominable innator. Abominable innator. Yeah, you gotta space it out there, Doof. To make himself bigger, scarier, and hairier. Okay. There's a lot going on in this episode, folks.
It's a busy episode.
It's a very busy episode, but it is a very good episode. And you're not a hockey guy, apparently.
I'm not a hockey fan. You know, the closest I got to hockey is Schwarzenegger going, "I still meet you."
Really? Batman and Robin, really?
That's as close as I get.
Seriously? Oh, God.
I'm not. You know, honestly, I took the kids ice skating once, and it took me 20 minutes just to lace. No, but I mean, that's ice. And getting on ice skates and getting out there and going around in a circle and almost twisted an ankle. And I said, nope, not for me.
Yeah, it's very difficult. That's why I have a very high respect for all hockey players, because being on blades of steel that could hurt somebody on ice that you could potentially fall through. I mean, not everybody can drive a limo on an ice pond. I mean, Gordon Bombay can do it, but most can't. So anyway, I'm like, oh, Luke Robitaille. Okay, when did he? Oh, right. He played from the time I was 6 until the time I was 26. So Luke Robitaille played for, and I'm not going to go into all of his info, obviously. He played for 4 teams during his career. The Los Angeles Kings, Pittsburgh Penguins, New York Rangers, blah, and Detroit Red Wings. He was active from 86 to 2006. And I think it's cool because, hello, we have Hockey Z9. What happened to Y8? Oh, we're saving that for croquet. They never got to it! They never did croquet Y8! We finally find out what Y8 is supposed to be, and they never actually do it. However, Hockey Z9, I love it.
I like it too. Actually, I think Y8 is going to be on the next Meep episode.
There is no next Meep episode.
So you think.
Thank God.
Yeah, Z8 I liked. I liked the whole post-apocalyptic sport of the future angle. I thought they were going to go with like, oh, hey, it's hockey in a sphere, you know, but Mad Max, you know, with Hockey 6, that works. That works. That perked me right up. They were losing me. I was starting to fade out a little bit, but they brought me right back in.
Mm-hmm.
I love when Isabella clobbers Buford on the ice. Just totally checks him into the wall, and then she explodes. It was awesome. It's so epic. I almost said, epic awesome. It was almost like one word there for a second. That's how cool it was.
I'm trying to see. Oh, man.
What?
They don't list... Oh, here we go. Jeff's... Okay. I was wondering about that. So, they have Dink, who is the announcer. They have Dink Winkerson or whatever his name is.
Okay.
And Dink is the same announcer that was doing the announcing for Monster Truck, for when they did the Monster Truck stuff way back when in season one.
Okay.
And Isabella took over when she's like, you know, you're not going to need the whole seat. You just need the, you know, that whole thing. And I'm like, okay, I love Isabella. I love Allison Stoner as Isabella, but I did not know until this moment, which one of the cast is Isabella's announcer voice. And it is none other than Mr. Jeff Swampy. It's Major Monogram himself. I didn't even know that until now.
Oh, you didn't hear it?
I did not hear. I don't hear Major Monogram in that voice. I can't.
No, I heard it. I heard it in his voice. Yeah.
But I love it. I think it's great because I love that announcer voice.
And the blare of the buzzer brings down the metaphorical curtain on the scintillating second period of this titanic tussle as the grim, gritty gladiators vacate the frozen field of flailing, fighting Flugelhorn to prepare for the third period of this Tullican Turf Toast Tower as the frosty defibrillators mill the frozen peas of icy...
Oh, man. I better go lay down.
Now for your entertainment, what we've all been waiting for, Little Kids on Ice!
Okay, Bert, looks like we're on.
Ladies and gentlemen, prepare to be transported to a world where everything you know is changed into a global glacial dystopia. If you're looking for something fluffy, forget it, pal, because this is the future, where the only things left are hard, cold, and in most cases, pointy. It's a world where the only way to survive is to play hockey while things blow up around you. It's a world of skillful skating and incredible ice rants, puck-pushing prowess, and savage stone gladiators. This is the harsh hybrid hockey of your dark dystopian destiny, Hockey Z9.
Thanks, Dink.
We've been doing this podcast for 5 years, folks, sort of. And I'm like, ooh, I need that announcer voice, even though we only have like 19 days or whatever it is left of the show. But like, I love that because Dink is kind of like fading in the episode. He's fading with all the hockey alliteration he's doing. And then Isabella comes in and does all her announcing stuff, and at the end she's like, thanks, Dink, and he just kind of stares at her as she gets on the ice. That's hilarious.
I didn't realize that was his name. I thought it was more of a derogatory comment.
No, that's his name, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, all right,
pretty sure.
Yeah, I like the very beginning. Lawrence gets a line.
Mm-hmm.
As he kind of slides across the ice backyard.
Uh-huh.
And, hello, boys. Splendid job on the hockey rink. And he knows what's going on? He's like, just like in the last episode with the My Sweet Ride, he was aware. Well, when he was awake, he was aware
exactly
of what was going on, and it's like he's not interested in busting anybody. And to be honest, I'm not sure why Candace just doesn't go to her, you know, stepdad and say, "Hey, you're gonna have to step up here and put the kibosh on this because it's bad."
Yeah. So I will put the audio in here, folks, because and I know you're talking about Lawrence, and I'll get to that for a second, but I just found Dink Winkerson. "And the blare of the buzzer brings down the metaphorical curtain on the scintillating second period of this titanic tussle as the grim, gritty gladiators vacate the frozen field of flailing, fighting flugelhorn to prepare for the third period of this," I can't pronounce that word, "turf toes tower as the frosty defibrillators," blah, 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 blah. Oh, man, I better go lay down. like he's out of breath after that. And I'm like, uh-huh. But meanwhile,
that was really well done, though.
Yeah. Meanwhile, yeah. Back to Lawrence. I think the reason why Lawrence doesn't, like, she can't go to her stepdad is because he's in on the gag. He's not, he's just trying to have fun. He's not trying to, like, he's there for supervision, not really, but I mean, he, on the skits that he's been, on the schemes that he's been in on, he's been there and he's been the parental supervision. So if he doesn't see anything wrong with it, the one that she's trying to get to, you know, bust is, you know, her mom to bust them, because moms are, I don't want to sit here and say this because I'm not a parent. I am a child of divorced parents. At times, moms can be more strict than dads. And I think that's the relationship of Linda and Lawrence, where she's the more strict one, whereas she just kind of overlooks the boys' stuff when they tell her about it. Meanwhile, you know, when Candace tries to tell her, she's, you know, writing for her comedy skit routine and whatever else. I don't know. It's just one of those things where, because I think Lawrence is in on it half the time, she can't go to him and bust them. It's not the same as if, you know, "Mom, Phineas and Ferb are..."
Yeah. I see where you're coming from, but you know, at the same time, I want to say that Mom would probably be okay with some of the stuff that goes down, but the one time that she actually did catch them, she immediately like grounded them to their rooms for the rest of their lives.
Yeah, Phineas and Ferb get busted when they go to bust camp with Clancy Brown.
Clancy Brown.
Hey,
Clancy Brown.
That's right, Lex Luthor from Superman the Animated Series, also the Kurgan. But the thing of it is, okay, so let me ask you this, instead of me pontificating, you know, why you let me pontificate on about this crap?
You're
a parent. You have two boys. You have a Phineas and Ferb, sort of. You don't have a Candace, but you have a Phineas and Ferb.
Sure,
when
why
they were
not
younger, who was the stricter parent, you or Chrissy?
I will often let Chrissy be the bad guy, but... Yeah, but she will often make me be the bad guy. She'll be like, "You know what? I'm not being the bad guy this time. Go in there and deal with this." I'm like, "Fine." But, you know, I don't get angry very often, so it's hard for me. It's like, you know, you got to call AT&T and tell them you're pissed off about the internet. It's like, "But I'm not pissed off. You're the pissed off one, you know?"
AT&T. I mean, you know, they're basically dumping Warner Media at this point.
Oh, well, we don't actually have AT&T for that. We have, right now we have Comcast, but I was just using that as an example, you know.
Yeah.
I got to call the huge, nameless, faceless organization who doesn't give a shit about me, and I need to convey to them that I'm angry about their crappy service. And I find it hard to, you know, sound like I'm angry. And, you know, it's hard to digress, it's hard to go to children who only respond to an angry parent and say, "I'm not really angry, but I want you to do what I say."
Yeah. And yeah, Hockey Z9, love it. I thought it was
Hockey
cool.
Hockey Z9, that's right.
I thought it was so great.
The evil jingle. Doofenshmirtz, Evil Igloo on a Mountaintop, eh?
Yep.
Because it's Canadian.
Because it's Canadian, eh?
It's Canadian, eh? That's right. Doofenshmirtz, Evil Igloo on a Mountaintop, eh? I like the mutant Zamboni that cleans up the rink before Mom can see it.
Yep.
And again, Lauren sees it. He knows what's going on.
He knows what's going on. I mean, it's not like he doesn't know what's going on.
I think he's just as amazed as everybody else, but we can't let Mom see.
Yeah.
It'd be no bueno for Mom.
Yep.
So here's the big problem I had with the episode. Several times I see this girl skating around with a Mr. Freeze helmet, and I'm like, who is the guy? Is that a Fireside girl? Is that, who is that? It's not a girl. It's Django.
Oh, yeah. He was in this, wasn't he?
They never once named it. Oh, look, Django's over there. You know, yeah. I saw it on the wiki. It looked like a girl with a Mr. Freeze helmet. And I'm like, who's that girl? Is that like a new love interest or something? No, it's Django. They could have used Buford. They could have used Baljeet, you know, and no, Django. Well, Buford and Baljeet were there, too. But I'm not sure why they needed an extra body out there.
Yeah.
There's Django. Sure.
Oh, yeah. Huh. He appears. Okay. So
they could have used that one guy that I don't like. Who's the neighbor who's always sticking his head over the fence.
Oh, yeah.
I don't like that guy.
Irving.
Use him. Use Django.
Irving's here.
Is he?
Yeah. You just don't remember because you don't like Irving.
I don't like Irving.
Yeah. Oh, see, when you're like Django in a Mr. Freeze helmet, and I'm like, wait, oh, right.
Yeah.
Well,
see it now?
I see it now because I'm
very Batman animated adventure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Animated series, not animated adventure. Get it right.
Actually, I think the comic book was called The Animated Adventures.
Probably just Batman Adventures. But anyway, yeah, Irving's here.
Yeah. All right. Cool.
Anyway. Irving is in this one. I thought he had a line, but I don't see it.
And then, like, random hockey guy. I'm like, oh, look, it's Brian Boitano.
No, it's not Brian Boitano.
Like the South Park pilot. Oh, bye.
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 What are you going to rate for your ice only?
You know, three.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's a repeat performance. We are even keel with our ratings today. 5, hands down.
What? 5?
Hockey is everything. Look here, boy.
You are farther north than I am, I think, too. You're like up there by the frozen Canadian wasteland.
It's not even on both coasts my entire life. Growing up in Massachusetts, you bled Boston sports, whether they win or they lose, no matter which. No, it didn't
Boston
matter.
Has hockey. What?
What? Are you kidding me? Seriously? Really?
I don't know anything about hockey.
Oh my god, Boston has. Yeah, the Boston Bruins, they've won plenty of times over their 52 years now? Yeah. Yeah, 52. Anyway, but yeah, no, I grew up like my aunt and uncle, my aunt's parents had season tickets to the Boston Bruins. That is how I got to see Ray Bourque's 1,000th goal for my 12th birthday in 1992. Was because I was there at the Boston Garden watching a Boston Bruins game. They were playing the Washington Capitals. Why the hell DC needs a hockey team is beyond me.
You know, Chicago has like half a dozen professional sports teams, and the Blackhawks is the one that I paid the least amount of attention to. It's not a hockey guy. Again, because I don't like the ice.
Yeah. Well, just because you don't like the ice doesn't mean you can't fly like a duck, because ducks fly together.
More hockey references that I barely get.
Are you okay? You have never seen the Mighty Ducks films, really?
Why would I watch the Mighty Ducks when I don't like hockey?
Oh, that makes Lord. No
sense. I think it's got like Charlie Sheen in it or something, right?
Emilio Estevez, the good brother.
The Good Brother.
It's like Breakfast Club, but with hockey.
But with hockey.
All right, we're going to take one final break, I think, this time around, or maybe it's our second to final break. I don't know. We're going to come back with the last episode after this.
Have fun at the party.
Thanks for having the boys over tonight, Vivian.
Oh, no problem, Linda. I have all the neighborhood kids tonight.
Come on. I don't want to be late for my first grown-up party.
Okay, hon. Bye, everyone. Happy New Year.
Bye, guys.
Happy New Year.
We're going to have so much fun. We've got noisemakers, balloons, confetti.
And of course, we'll all stay up till midnight and watch the New Year's Eve ball drop.
Bouchy, it's already out. Wake up, will you? You're drooling all over my arm.
You know, saliva is 98% water, and the other 2% is made up of very beneficial electrolytes. It is gross, but it is science.
You're lucky the gross factor outweighs the science factor, or you'd have a one-way ticket to Wedgie Town.
All right, folks, final episode of the night for episode 85. Here we are kicking off season 4 of Phineas and Ferb. It's Happy New Year! It's New Year's Eve, and Phineas and Ferb build their customized multi-dimensional New Year's Eve ball and drop it to celebrate. At City Hall, Candace goes to a grown-up party and makes a resolution to refrain from busting her brothers. That doesn't last long. But gains a relapse and tries to bust them before the clock strikes midnight. Meanwhile, Dr. Doofenshmirtz uses a resolution changer innator in his bow tie to make everyone change their resolution to follow him as their leader. That doesn't work either because nobody follows New Year's resolutions.
That's right. He should have used the yodel, lodel, obey me.
Yes, he should have.
So, how many TV shows have like New Year's Eve episodes? This is pretty unique, I think.
Let's see. There's Dick Clark, who now I think Ryan Seacrest does that thing. There's Carson Daly. He does his New Year's drop, and yeah, there's not a lot of TV shows that. There's not a lot of cartoon series that do it, but I mean, I get it that Phineas and Ferb would. I mean, if they're going to do a Christmas episode, they might as well do a New Year's episode.
Yeah. I mean, technically, you could do a Christmas episode every year, or you could, you know, do something different. I feel bad that Isabella doesn't get any kisses. She's like, she's totally like, you know, normally people get kisses on New Year's Eve, and Phineas is like, I know what we're going to do tonight. Making out with Isabella at midnight. But no kisses for Isabella.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the kiss Nazi. Mm-hmm. No kiss for you.
And I love her mother.
Your mother is right, Phineas. You have such an active imagination.
Not active enough.
Isabella, like, not active enough.
Just, you know. She already grabbed him and kissed him once. It's not as if it's... You know,
He doesn't remember that, so...
Well, they remember Summer belongs to you.
Yeah, but they have to keep up the gag until they start acting their age, though.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah.
We got a lot of new random kids in the disco ball.
Yep.
Like, it's one of these Django again.
Probably.
I kind of felt like somebody won a contest. It's like if you win the contest, they put your likeness into the show in some random, you know, disco ball thing. I assumed it would say something about it in the wiki.
I'm looking, but I don't see anything at this point. So
just seems odd that they throw random kids in there.
Well, I mean, you know, they gotta have, you know, background actors and extras and things like that, so
yeah. There's Flock of Seagulls Jail.
Yep,
that was funny. if you know what that is. Yep. You know what that is.
Oh, but of course. Again, I do.
I don't think a lot of, you know, the younger audience would have caught on to Flock of Seagulls Jail.
And once again, I mean, these shows are not like Dan and Swampy. Yes, they're working these towards kids in general, but they're going to throw references in there that are funny to them. And it's the same thing like with the old Looney Tunes cartoons. Chuck Jones was not making those for 4-year-olds in 1940. He was making them for himself and his friends.
Yeah, so those were prime time shows.
Yeah.
Those were,
well,
those
I mean,
were
this
meant
was a,
for adults.
I mean, this was a prime time show as well, but still. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Anyway. I thought it was funny that Perry was just going to let Doof use his innator. He's just he just pulls up a chair and says, go ahead, have at.
Yep.
But yeah, he's right. Nobody really follows their New Year's resolutions.
Nope,
I mean, I've been fat and monolingual for years. I keep every year I tell myself, I'm gonna make myself better. And I just don't.
I'm fat and semi-bilingual.
Really, I know how to say taco. I'm semi-fluent in French, and I know enough Spanish to get by, and I speak a little Japanese, but I'm not fully fluent in anything but English, and that's arguable.
You do English good, huh?
I do good English, eh?
Yeah, for me, I am 0.0000.1% fluent in Russian. I can tell you hi, I can tell you good night, and I can tell you goodbye or good evening.
Yes. Do svidaniya.
No, that do svidaniya is goodbye.
Niet.
Niet is no, da is yes, and then hi, to say hi to somebody, it's privyet.
Privyet, nice.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I took one semester of Russian in my senior year of high school because they're like, yeah, you can't take the media class twice. And I'm like, but it's two different parts of the media. I didn't even want to be in front of the camera. I just wanted to be behind the camera doing the computer stuff.
There you go.
Let me do it.
So you got Russian instead?
Because ever since I was a kid, every other child friend that I had, parents pushed upon them Spanish class, French class, Dutch class, you know, whatever, you know, sprechen Sie Deutsch, like whatever. It's like, no, I avoided language classes my whole life up until the 12th grade. And, you know.
Funny. I spent 4 years in French. And then I took French in college. And it's a different ballgame in college, to be honest.
I would assume it would be. I mean, that's the advanced French class.
Yeah, it's completely different.
No kissing anyway, for you.
No kiss for you. Speaking of kissing, the New Year's Eve song.
Mm-hmm.
This song deserves to replace 1999 as the official New Year's song.
Oh, stop. Yes, it does. But come on, I mean.
Nah, I kid. No, that's a little hasty. You can't replace Prince.
No, you can't.
Right. But the key point here is Olivia Olson sings this song.
Vanessa, that's right.
Vanessa sings. And yep. I got all excited. I heard Vanessa singing, and I'm like, this is a great song.
Yep.
I would listen to this song on New Year's Eve.
Yep. Not only is the song going to be in the episode somewhere, also for this episode only, we are starting with the winter theme, and we are ending with the third verse or other verse or the continuing verse that is usually played at the end credits, because that is also the Happy New Year song sung by Olivia Olson as Vanessa. So, yes. Episode 85 of the Podcast Organization Without a Cool Acronym is a very special episode, folks. We're special.
Special. Okay, so to round this out, at the end of the episode, the parents get a New Year's Eve kiss. Candace gets a New Year's Eve kiss. What does Isabella get? Isabella gets nada.
Again,
no kiss for you.
They're children.
You know, we've seen them kiss once. I'm okay
once,
with this.
And it I'm was right erased. It was erased by the devaporatorinator or whatever it was.
The dememoryinator.
There you go. Something
forget,
like that.
Forget inator.
The forget but, about it.
Forget about it, Nada. But I still feel like that would have been acceptable here in this particular context.
I guess, but they would have to approach the crush that she has had on him this whole time and they couldn't just go with the running gag afterwards of him basically not noticing, and yet she is in.
It would ruin the dynamic.
Right? Yeah, it would. You know, you always you've talked about this entire episode about how things are missing and they're not going by format and they're not going by formula.
Yeah,
well, if they did that, it would kill the entirety of the formula because.
Yeah.
Again, they're not to the point where they can act their age.
Right. It's like, what if the monsters in Scooby-Doo were really monsters? It's like, well, now you've ruined the show.
I mean, there's only so many times you can pull a monster's head off and it be Mr. Wilson from next door.
Well, that guy's just downright evil.
I know, right? I mean, he doesn't like hockey. What the fuck is wrong with him?
He doesn't sound like such a bad guy after all. So I give this one a 3 for a New Year's Eve goodness, because you just don't see enough New Year's Eve episodes.
Yeah, you were very on a even keel with all of these episodes today, and whereas I'm
very fair. I don't think I've seen anything that I didn't like, but I haven't seen anything that I thought was like amazing. I had like one or two good lines in season 4, episode 1, but that the rest of the show was just not that great. And that, you know, that floated up to a 3, and some of these are pretty good, but I mean, you know, if you want a 5, you got to knock my socks off.
See, for me, it did knock my socks off because, like you said, not every cartoon show does a Happy New Year kind of show. And honestly, ever since The Fly on the Wall and how much of a downgrade that was for me, yeah. Like anything else,
everything looks
at
better.
At that point, everything else looks better. So I am also giving New Year's, Happy New Year, a 5.
Wow. All right, you've persuaded me. I'm going to kick that up a notch to 4.
There you go. I mean, come on.
Yeah, New Year's Eve deserves a 4. And Vanessa sings.
You have to give it a 5 because of your own rule. Anytime Vanessa sings, the episode gets a 5. So
but Vanessa wasn't in the episode.
Doesn't matter. She still sings. It's still Vanessa. It's not just Olivia Olson on the stage. It's still Vanessa.
It's Olivia Olson singing. It wasn't Vanessa singing. Vanessa wasn't even in there.
Well, it's still.
She should have been. Honestly, if Candace gets to go, Vanessa should get to go.
Well, we both give Happy New Year a 5, folks.
All right, fine. We do. It's got a 5.
It's got a 5.
It may or may not end up on my top 10 at the end of the season, but it's going
to get 5. I mean, I'm not saying it's. Yeah, I don't even. And that's the other thing that's interesting about this, because I knew almost all of the first 3 seasons of episodes, pretty much. Had them committed to memory most of the time, where I could pick and choose for my top 10 favorites and whatever else. Like season 4, I'm like, huh, what? Like my top 10 list for episodes for season 4 is going to be like, I'm really going to like the first 3 seasons. I could just blink and I knew every episode that was going to be on there. Season 4, I'm going to have to really think about it. For Your Ice Only might make it just because it's Hockey Z9.
Hockey. Yeah. You like hockey for some reason.
Hey, man, you grow up on the ice. You grow up watching Emilio Estevez as Gordon Bombay with Percy or Pate, not Percy, Pacey.
Pacey.
From fucking, yeah. For those like Michael that don't know, Joshua Jackson, who was Pacey in Dawson's Creek,
is the main character
in the Mighty Ducks movies, Charlie Conway.
All right. See, I did not watch Dawson's Creek either. I thought Vanderbeek looked a little squirrely. I didn't like that show.
All right. On that note, we're going to take a quick break and come back to close the show after this.
I'm going to make some hot chocolate. You kids come in when you want to warm up. Hey, where's your platypus?
Dacian, the superhero webcomic. Dacian's got superhero antics and sexy girls. For action, comedy, mayhem, and more, read it now at Dacian.com. Dacien.com.
Because the world needs another movie podcast.
The GeekCast Radio Network presents for your listening pleasure, The Cinema Geek.
Hosted by Amanda, Kevin, Matt, and Dan.
Each week we dive headfirst in the landscape of movies as we discuss movie news,
play movie games,
go in-depth on reviews,
and even have a top 10 countdown or two.
Also, don't miss our director retrospective series, where we review noted directors' movies film by film.
Bottom line is, if you love movies and love podcasts, you need to experience The Cinema Geeks.
You can find us on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, or GeekCastRadio.com.
By the power of Grayskull, I command the jaw bridge. Open! Amen.
The Powers of Grayskull series will cover every episode of all four Masters of the Universe cartoons, John Optimus, Solo, and myself, TF2 and Mike, as we tell tales of Eternia, discover the myths of Etheria, become masters in space, and finally, Masters of Grayskull. We'll have a commentary on the Secret of the Sword film, and a few other special episodes. You can find this 125-episode-long podcast in iTunes and on the web at geekcastradio.com. By the power and honor of Grayskull, we all have the power.
Hurry, Skeletor, hurry!
I am hurrying, I'm hurrying!
The toys of He-Man and the Masters of the Universe is available for pre-order now. This official guidebook is published by Dark Horse Books and features over 750 pages of photos and information on your favorite He-Man and She-Ra action figures. And don't miss out on the exclusive bundle pack available for pre-order now from PowerCon. This bundle includes the official guide as well as an exclusive character guide supplement that you won't be able to buy anywhere else. Don't miss out. You have the power.
On the Simplistic Reviews podcast, we talk movies. We talk TV. We talk...
Hello, Julie, what the heck are you doing?
Trying to make our spot sound more exciting by adding explosions.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you could have got the point across with sound effects, not the real thing.
Download the show on iTunes or at simplisticreviews.blogspot.com.
I'm sure your insurance company will cover that.
No, they won't.
No, they probably won't.
Hi, I'm Terry Smith, the host of Music Talks, the podcast where I ask guests a simple but beguiling question. Choose a song from each decade of your life and tell me why these songs mean so much to you. Guests and listeners love this format, and if you want to find out why, then take a listen at musictalkspod.buzzsprout.com or use your favorite podcast app. Just search on Music Talks Terry Smith. If you'd like to be a guest on the show and... Talk to me. Then send me a tweet at Music Talks Pod. I look forward to doing some music talking soon.
Carbonation is fun.
It's like, wait a minute, bub. I gotta round out the podcast.
All right. Get up.
I'm so sorry.
Every time you fucking laugh, I want to start the damn.
I'm the best there is at what I do, and what I do ain't pretty.
All my work ruined. I hate Mondays.
Come here. I'm the best there is at what I do, and what I do can't be imitated, copied, cloned, or used without the express written permission of the Superhero Squad and Marvel Entertainment LLC. Batteries not included. All rights reserved. Terms, conditions, restrictions apply. We clear, bub.
Yes, sir. We are back here on episode 85 of the Podcast Organization Without a Cool Acronym. We seem to be on polar opposites of the end of these episodes, these first four cartoons that start off season four, even though I, you know, basically... dragged Michael up into being a five for Happy New Year because of Vanessa. Gave him some of the necessary roughness there. Any final thoughts you want to impart on the audience before I close it out, sir?
Necessary roughness. I thought I did, and that one just broke my chain of thought.
I have that effect on people. So I guess the silence means he has nothing to say, folks. Thank you for joining us here on Palka. There are several ways to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can comment on this and all of our other episode posts. Send any email to feedback@geekcastradio.com. Just put in the subject line Palka and whatever episode number you are referencing. Here are all the ways you can listen to us nowadays. Apple, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and of course, the home where our files exist, Spreaker. You can also use any other podcatching client you choose. However, I prefer you use one of these. I really dig Spotify for podcasts. It's my favorite at this point. Leave the show's feedback in iTunes. Please do this. As of this recording, I don't think we have any new iTunes reviews, so please go leave us one. Follow us on Twitter. I am at TFGU and Mike. You can follow at Geekcast Radio for all the other network updates. What is your Twitter, sir?
PeconCT Michael.
Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/GeekcastRadioNetwork. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Palka and wish you'll join us next time when we will be giving you our thoughts on the next episode of Phineas and Ferb Season 4, which includes Bully Bust. Oh no, another bullying episode that we're going to be divided on. Great. Yeah. And Backyard Hodgepodge. For now, I am TFGU and Mike with
Michael Wilson.
Thank you for listening. Until next time.
Everybody, chill out.
But wait, there's more.
Take a drink.
Yummy.
Clear your throat.
Just talking so much.
Let me clear my throat.
There's a picture here of Candace as a fly, and it's like that. It's wacky. You know, they're just going for something completely off the wall. Honestly, I think they should have started the season off with My Sweet Ride.
Yeah, they should have.
It's arguably a better episode.
Oh, it very much is a better episode.
What are the odds?
It's funny. I got to try to see if it's still on the DVR on the TV. I got to have Karen watch the 50-year Boston Bruins hockey celebration documentary they did because it surprised me when I watched it.
DVR'd that? What?
Seriously? Hello, it's hockey, damn it. Leave me alone.
Bye.
Bye.
Brian Boitano.
No. But as I'm watching this thing, I'm like, oh, it's surprising how much the Bruins have to thank the Blackhawks for, because at one point in the 70s or 80s, we got half of the Blackhawks roster traded to the Bruins. Like Phil Esposito and all those guys came from the Blackhawks to the Bruins.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Anyway. They are. Hockey just goes, the puck just flew right over your Mr. Freeze helmet. I get it.
Exactly.
There's not really any more. That's about it.